Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
What happened to those old sidekick teams that we made a few episodes ago? Well, today we're going to answer that and more. Me specifically. I'll be answering that as today's game master, Joshua Newell. This is a first episode in a series we're going to try to do, Geeks on a Roll. We're going to be playing a game. We have some characters from our Cross the Omniverse that we all love and walk through a story that I made up. So this could be a scary, scary episode. We're going to go into my brain. And of course, I am here with the one and only original magic head, Pastor Will Rose. Will, how's it going?
Feeling rounded.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking it. Looking it.
Yeah, another, I'm feeling
another, well-rounded. Another well-rounded host person. And friend of ours who looks pretty well-rounded is the one and only Christian Ashley. How's it going?
I'm all right.
Yeah. And we are all brought together, of course, from the mysterious powers that you don't even need the dice for. It's like a nat 20 when you have the pod almighty TJ Tiberius Juan Blackwell on.
Are in Jesus himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I do have some dice. I was going to do a like a web app, guys, but I'm just going to roll it. So if you guys hear the sound of dice rolling or something, like, this is still kind of experimental. I'm not entirely sure what it's going to sound or look like. So you guys are going to just hang in there with us as our first episode. So we're leaving lots of room for error. It's going to be kind of like a D&D pod, but not. Yeah. So introducing ourselves. Now we're going to go into what we've been geeking out on. I'm going to try and be pretty quick with this one. Actually, I've been reading a lot of comics lately. Been reading the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther for another episode and didn't stop where I was supposed to. Just been kept reading. So geeking out on some Black Panther lately. Will, what have you been geeking out on lately?
Hey, I am geeking out on a new cat. We have a cat named Java that we are fostering. That she's a little twitchy, she's a little skittish, but a purr machine, and hops on my lap and chest and purrs and nuzzles my chin. And that's a good way to stay in our household. I don't think I'm going to let you go into another house. I think you're mine now, from now on, Java. And then I will say, on Across the Bifrost with Ryan, we have a pretty cool guest coming up that we may interview this week that I'm really excited about. A creator, a pretty big Marvel creator out in the world that could be the author of the current run of Thor. We'll see. Pretty excited about that. Nice, so nice. Those are things.
If you're wanting three more purring cats, you know, we just got to talk
and
talk my wife into getting rid of these. I'm okay with it.
You want seven more cats?
All for you. Sorry. DJ, what have you been geeking out on?
Lost.
The TV show?
The TV show. Yeah, I realized I never finished it. And what? It's time. Also, man, TV shows used to be long.
Yeah.
Like primetime TV.
It was a better time. You could tell the story.
I regularly remember that I haven't finished it. And I think, man, I wish I wouldn't have started that. Christian, what do you begin? I just so don't long. Like Lost. I don't like most of the things that J. Abrams did, which is actually part of this episode. J.J. Abrams will be coming up soon.
God help us all.
You know, there's a reason he has his title. There's a reason.
I saw We Bury the Dead not too long ago, and that is a horribly mismarketed film. It's not really a horror film. It's more of a drama film. And by drama, I mean overdramatic. I'm not a fan, shall we say.
It's because he's so dramatic. Anyway, we're going
to move
Right on. We have a lot to get through, a fun game to play, but we do want to remind you guys, if you can, to please rate and review our show wherever you're listening. Usually only takes a few seconds. It does a lot as far as like getting the word out about our show and helping us to continue to do this. So we appreciate it. We also appreciate all of our financial sponsors. Today, I want to shout out Gunnar Burgum and Frank Troglair. I'm struggling with these names, but we appreciate you. If you guys want to hear me struggle with your name, you can get your own shout out by becoming an official member of Systematic Ecology on our website in the show's description. Same website. If you don't want to become a member, or if you want to just become a free member, you got other free content over there. We got merch, t-shirts, mugs, all kinds of stuff. Of course, you can also leave just a one-time tip if you don't want anything and just sort of like, yeah, I just want to give them some money. You could do that. It's fine. Also, as the series continue, we are going to have a playlist. There will be a link below. Today, we're just going to link some of the other episodes that are a background to today's episode, background story episodes. Yeah, where we created some sidekick teams and talked through a thing, but we didn't play through anything. So today, we're gonna play. Today, we're going to play. So this story is going to deal with the ramifications of our other missions that, Will and TJ gave me and Christian a mission. We had a psychic team that played through it or talked through it. Christian and I came up with the story. You guys sort of talked through it. You guys talked most of the way through it. I gave too many things that I don't think Will knew what they were.
Yes, you did. I did.
So we're going to get more into stuff that Will doesn't know today.
Simple is good.
So
simple
before is we good. Get too far into it.
Simple and clean.
Yeah. Thanks. Extra points already. There we go. before we get into anything else, I know TJ does a lot of D&D. I'm going to throw this question to him. Why do we enjoy making teams or having teams in media? And then why do we enjoy playing, like just playing stories?
Two wholly different questions. I think that humans are inherently social creatures, just based on all of history and being able to just try out new stuff. Yeah. And teams, it's a good time. It's fun to be a part of a team. I feel like most people agree with that. Not a super controversial statement. Most people who don't agree with that play tennis. So
or ping pong. TJ.
Or ping pong.
Christian, Will, anything to add about why we love teams, why we like to play through stories, anything?
Yeah, I love role-playing. I love playing D&D. I'm in a campaign right now, and it's just so much fun to have different ideas of, because different players play a different way. I'm the role player. I like getting in a conversation with people and exploring what the DM is trying to, bring into the world through these NPCs, and also talking with party members and encouraging them to get a little more into it. It's also nice to have people who just like combat. You have some people who just like social interactions. You have some people who just like shopping. It brings a lot of people together to do different things together, but they find something they can like out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I'll build on that too. I think TJ talking about we're social creatures, but I also think that we're also in terms of how we're wired for story and making meaning out of story. So if you could do teamwork, social interactions, along with collaborative storytelling, I think you get all the best worlds coming together. And I teamwork is hard. Is challenging working with other people. That's the irony and the challenge of being human, is that we're social creatures and we long to belong and be a part of teams, but it's also a lot of hard work. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. And that's why you need coaches and work through difficulty. And you learn lessons along the way of how to be who you're called to be and how to be human. And I think these role-playing games, board games, D&D, are a good exercise and practice and how to live your life and interact with others out in the world, even though it's fantasy collaborative storytelling. I think it's a parable of how to live out in the world.
Yeah. I'm going to add that too, because part of why I wanted to do a story that was ramifications that led to a whole new series we're going to be doing is pretty similar. Like, I think a lot of times what's cool in stories when we have actual ramifications, because it allows us to think about like, oh, wait a minute. Why did I do that in the game? Do I do things like that in real life? And I think in the same way that story always does this, but I think playing through it almost makes it more personal, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah. Absolutely.
At least in video games, I feel that way. I haven't done a lot of role playing, so I'm not, not sure how it translates, but I feel like it does. So I gave you guys parameters for today's team. Across the Omniverse, you were allowed to pick one scientist character, a magician character, and then two characters who are best friends and one angel watcher, whatever, from the Book of Enoch, our favorite book that should be canonized in the Bible, but isn't. That's a joke. I think I'm the only one who believes that, except for maybe TJ. I'm not sure. Not sure where TJ falls on that one. I don't think he cares one way or the other.
It's a cool book. I don't know.
Doesn't care either way. Yeah. But anyway, you guys want to tell us who you picked, why you picked them, etc.?
Sure.
Let's start with scientists. Who did y'all pick for your scientist?
Yeah, a little backstory. I mean, Joshua threw this at us, and then in a group text, we were trying to bat back and forth some things. We voted and, you know, batted some things around. So we're like, I like that one. I don't know much about that one. What would do? I threw out Dr. Doom just because, hey, we just had a big One World Under Doom event with comics. We got a Doomsday coming up. Dr. Doom's one of my favorite villains of all time in the Marvel Universe. And then he is also nuanced in the sense that, you know, is he always a villain? Is he think he's always doing good? He thinks he's always doing good or knows better than everybody else. And yet he's still the godparent of Valerie Richards. So like he knows how to be a good godparent, I think, at least in the last One World Under Doom. He knows how to be a good godparent. And so, he's just an interesting character. And I can't wait to see how they do him in the MCU. And he's the first one came to mind. Yeah, mm-hmm. He could also make him magic sorcerer superpower, but at his base and root, a scientist.
Yeah. And I have a soft spot in my heart for Dr. Doom. Christian and I actually did a review of one of my favorite comics a while back on All Reading Counts. I think it was me and Christian. Might have been someone else. But it was Dr. Doom.
No, it was Sandy and I.
Dr. Doom and I wasn't even in it. That's funny. Dr. Doom and Dr. Strange.
That's hilarious.
But that's awesome.
You're pulling to me, Joshua. You're inserting yourself into things you weren't involved with.
Who wants to introduce the magic character you chose?
Well, you can't go wrong with the wizard, perennial wizard, Merlin.
Yeah.
And this was exactly the one Will was thinking about.
Yes.
Because of what the story is, this is the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah. Well, that applies in a lot of cases. And there's just, we really didn't argue a lot.
Yeah.
No, this is the OG. He's kind of the OG wizard out there, and did some deep dive in reading. Interesting backstory, interesting history from the 12th century, and shape shifting. Not just a Disney character. Yeah. He's definitely been around a long time. But
is a Kingdom Hearts character.
The good thing about him too. Oh,
go ahead.
But the great thing about Merlin is that since the Arthurian mythos are all over the place, written by multiple different authors, we can make him whatever we want to be.
Since he is a Kingdom Hearts character, though, I want to say that in the story, I made something happen before you chose Merlin, and it just so happens that having Merlin makes it just so perfect. If you happen to stumble upon something, I just wanted to say ahead of time, I did write out what was going to happen before y'all chose Merlin. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Two best friends. Christian, you haven't introduced one yet. Tell us why Calvin and Hobbes.
I'm the worst person for this.
Will, tell us why Will, Calvin and Hobbes.
You've been the most recent reader. You go ahead.
This, I think TJ should, because TJ is the one who picked this. I picked another friendship duo that we loved. No, I didn't. Troy and Abed. I really wanted Troy and Abed from Community.
I also wanted Troy and Abed, but I wasn't disappointed with this.
Yeah, TJ did this. I was like, absolutely. Yeah. And so I reread some of this last night to get ready for this and absolutely love it. So yeah, big fan. TJ, what made this come to mind?
It's Calvin and Hobbes.
Well, you should have known that was going to be
that is accurate. Yeah, he's right.
Yes, yeah. That's why I asked.
It's also because he's a Calvinist. That's a joke. He's not. all right.
I'm a Hobbes. I'm a hobbyist.
I'm a hobbyist. I asked you guys for some kind of supernatural character from the Book of Enoch. This one we are going to make Christian do. Tell us who you chose and why.
Yeah. So none of mine got picked, but this was an excellent choice by Will for Raphael, that being the Archangel Raphael from the Apocrypha. You got him in the Book of Tobit. You've got him in the Book of First Enoch, and known as one of the Angels of Healing, which, always got to have a dedicated healer on your team.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, is a character in Supernatural, so ends up being relevant to the story that's going to be told here in a minute. Anyway, awesome. Well, do y'all want to say anything about anything else about these characters, why you chose them, or what they mean to you? Or are we ready to jump into some play?
Let's watch something to play. I'll say I like the challenge of picking a team. I mean, I did this with Ryan over across the Bifrost. We did a draft of our favorite X-Men and shape your own X-Men team. And the characters you choose for whatever theme you want to do, it's always just fun pulling together a team. If you want to get me to jump on a new comic book that I'm not currently reading because I jumped off of it because you lost the plot in some ways along the way. If you put together a good team on the cover and say, hey, all new, all different, brand new team, I'm buying that number one and I'm going to read it because I just love to see how they pull a team
together. Nice. All right, then it is time to play. And this is the part we've never done on this podcast before. So you guys are going to hang in there with us. I do want to say, because time restraints, we're not going to do like a lot of D&D where we're going to roll each fight scene and like take turns doing a fight. We're going to kind of keep it more obscure, just kind of, you know, third party view, God view of the story, if you will, instead of a more of a first person like you typically see. Background for the story before. So also, I do want to ask you all to try to be real with your characters, what they would or would not know. Don't play as yourself, play as your characters. That's what I am asking. Please, because I think it's more fun that way.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you guys.
All right, background. J.J. Abrams played the Kingdom Hearts franchise and somehow got a hold of the Kingdom Hearts 4 plot. And now somehow Xehanort has returned. Somehow Xehanort has returned. And as Xehanort has returned, he's become aware of a few things. There have been some rips in the Omniverse, including one in the Realm of Darkness that he's very familiar with. And he has begun exploring why these rifts occurred, what is going on. And in his exploration, he discovered more princesses, so he can have a new seven princesses of heart. He also has discovered that there is such thing as a soul, and it's actually more powerful than a heart. And his goal now is to collect souls, get the princesses of heart together so that he can have the chi blade and fill Kingdom Hearts, whatever that may be, no one knows, with souls to become super powerful, because that would be fun. Yeah.
And for the record, with the drinking game of me drinking every time,
this whole episode just counts as one.
Suspended that. It just counts as one. I do have a Diet Coke, not anything else. So I may have to take a pee break here in a few minutes. But other than that, I think just one big Kingdom Hearts.
I took
a
sip. I want to ask you guys for clarity before we get into it. When you come across characters that you guys would recognize, would you prefer me to just have what their name is now and let you guys figure out who they are? Or would you prefer me just tell you who they are?
Just no tell us who they are.
With that, then.
Simplicity.
Your characters that you've chose suddenly appear before Crowley and Rick Sanchez. Crowley from the Supernatural franchise began speaking, of course. This is, bloody hell, another angel. You always bring me an angel. He's like, I'm sure you guys are wondering why you're here. My realm has been invaded by some, I don't know, old man who thinks he can displace God. It's just a whole thing. He has an awayinator. It's just bloody awful. He has taken over hell. My kingdom. I need a fix. So there's been rifts in the Omniverse. I did some traveling. I discovered one of the rifts led here to this technarchy. My good friend Rick here invented most of this place. He's the founder. I talked him into helping me. We made a deal. He didn't believe there were angels. I introduced him to an angel. And now he won't stop bringing me bloody angels. Anyway, I proved it. He owed me one. He created a device that would bring the perfect team to me for exactly what we need. Lay it out. This man, Xehanort, is trying to collect power from souls and open a portal to the Kingdom Hearts. He needs 7 Princesses of Heart to do this. And that's where you come in. I need your help intercepting the Princesses of Heart so he doesn't get them, so I can get him out of my bloody world. As he's talking, a woman in a white and gray coat who, since TJ requested, you guys do recognize her as Xana, the former apprentice to Darth Bane. Her name now, of course, is Hexanas. She whispers something into Crowley's ear, and he proceeds with well, we will need to take care of that. Rick, show them what they need. I have to go. Rick Sanchez belches. He goes, I can't wait to be done with this stupid, you know, he starts cursing and saying whatever, right? He begins going down a long, dark hallway. Everything's chrome because, you know, the future, everything's chrome, according to Squidward. Makes it accurate. Do you guys follow Rick? That's first question. I don't want to tell you guys what your characters are doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean,
I want to have something to say.
Yeah, I feel like Dr. Doom is always the one who thinks he's the smartest person in the room. So I think he's sizing up Rick to see, like, who is he about? What is he doing? And he's either asking questions or looking at him with, like, a conceited look in his eye. I don't know if Doom or Merlin could overhear what was whispered in the ear. Don't know if we need to roll on that because they're pretty perceptive and are wizards and use magic super tech stuff. Yeah. No one heard it. Okay, I guess I'll roll on that one there.
And Hobbs didn't see the speech bubble.
They didn't see a thought bubble. They could have seen it. That's a good point. But yeah, I think they all follow with Dr. Doom leading the way, sizing up Rick Sanchez as a maybe competitor in intelligence.
Rick barely humors this. He just wants you guys to be gone because he just doesn't care about any of this. None of it means anything. Who cares about souls? Whatever.
Wow, what a perfect encapsulation of Rick and Morty.
I think Rick really just does not care. Anyway, he brings you to the ships and says, I just need you guys to take one and leave me alone. In fact, you could also take Jerry if you want.
Nope. I do not want Jerry.
He brings you. You have 6 ships to choose from. Your characters might not recognize these ships, but for you guys, so you guys will know these ships. One is the Serenity from Firefly. Also, he did explain to you that he has attached the same technology from the portal gun and all these, so they can do the travel to all the different universes that you need to do. So you have Serenity from Firefly. You have the blue police box, the TARDIS. Space Cruiser, Rick's ship. He just made another one. The USS Beagle, Lower Decks, the alternative dimension version of the ship you see in the last season. The Razor Crest, Mandalorian's first ship. And of course you see a gummy ship that's explained to you. You can make it look however you want. It's a gummy ship, which is Kingdom Hearts reference for Will.
Christian, since you weren't able to pick any of our characters, you're outvoted. I'll let you pick the I think you should pick the ship. Whatever ship is on your heart right now, buddy, go for it.
Well, I'm torn between the Star Trek Beagle and the gummy ship. My idea is that Star Trek tech, if I remember the last time, you know, because fandoms always fight each other, I think Star Trek tech is a little bit more advanced than Star Wars.
Also, if you choose the Beagle and my Beagle howls, it would be comedic timing.
But I think what would be advantageous to us is choosing the gummy ship because they're so modifiable. So if we encounter something along the way we can't, you know, get past, there's always a chance we could always rebuild the ship way better and easier, especially if Chip and Dale are around, you know. Yeah, if we can do that.
You get Chip and Dale just because you mentioned them, and I want that to happen.
I'm going gummy ship.
Good choice.
All right. Cool. You guys were told who the 7 princesses were. I just forgot to tell you that I told you. That's how it works. The new 7 princesses of heart that they're after is, of course, Princess Fiona from Shrek. We have Vivi from Alabasta in One Piece. Princess Leia from Star Wars. Galadriel from Lord of the Rings. Elizabeth Swan from Pirates of the Caribbean. Princess Bubblegum. And then one Princess Tiana, who should have been in Kingdom Hearts 3. And they dropped the ball. So we're picking it up here.
And the picture we see on the screen is a young Galadriel from Rings of Power, not necessarily from Lord of the Rings.
Same concept.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was like,
I just meant Middle Earth. I didn't want to have to go through and explain all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. She's I'll follow her.
Yeah, I would too. Anywhere. Yeah. Probably.
So speaking of following her, is that where you're all going to try to go? Where are you going? What are you doing?
Can we ask Merlin? Should we ask Merlin where Merlin you wants to go?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, do we go after the one who's at most risk here of being kidnapped and go by threat level? Like, is this also depends on where and time they're trying to attack these princesses? Because if they're attacking Princess Leia right then, she's not going to be as able to defend herself as like Princess Leia, who's trained as a Jedi.
I'm not sure your characters know who any of these people are.
We have,
other than Merlin.
We have Raphael.
Merlin would know who Tiana is. Yeah, Raphael doesn't just have all knowledge.
He works with God, direct source.
Nah,
it's true. But do we know any of Xehanort's plan at all?
You just know he's trying to intercept the princesses so that he can open a portal to Kingdom Hearts and use it with souls to get power.
Yeah, so we don't know the order he plans to grab them in, who's the most at risk, none of that. Crowley didn't know.
It's all going to happen approximately at the same time. He has lots of teams going for him. Oh. He's not personally going to the princesses.
Let's go get Galadriel. And then we have Spaceman Spiff driving the gummy ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do Calvin and Hobbes break the fourth wall a lot?
I don't know.
No, they're all in Calvin's imaginations, his head. He's imagining all kinds of things.
Okay. I'll see if we can maybe use that meta knowledge for our use, but guess not. I'm trying to think of who would be the least able to defend herself.
Oh, Tiana.
Again, would you know that?
On her own. Once again, Raphael.
Okay. How are we introduced to these women? Did we just get a list of names?
Yeah. Okay. But Merlin will recognize who Tiana is. I don't think he would recognize any of the others. Maybe Princess Leia, depending on what happens at Kingdom Hearts 4. We'll just say he knows Princess Leia.
She's now a Disney princess. Yeah.
So we have a bias.
Elizabeth Swann, he'd know.
Oh, that's true. So he knows at least three
out of those three. I think he would know Tiana was more than likely out of those three to be more at risk. No, Elizabeth can sword fight. Leia, no, can shoot a blaster if need be. If we're assuming this is the Leia at this point in time in history. So I say Tiana.
Let's do it.
All right.
Spaceman Spiff.
All right. You show up in the bayou. You do a couple songs. It's a fun time. Eventually, you do see Princess Tiana under attack. I got to figure out who she's under attack from. Ah, she's under attack from Poxel, who is Paul
von Oberstein.
He just knew it was a Paul. but he's showing up. He has his white cloak. He's clearly part of the Organization 13. Along with him, you see a couple nobodies, the white and gray with the symbol. But these nobodies look like Shamus, Flippers, and Dwarves. Yeah. So I assume you're going to fight and not let them just to take the princess.
I assume Doom overkills everything.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And if he doesn't, Raphael overkills everything.
I don't think any of them would. I don't think you would particularly have a problem as long as Calvin and Hobbes aren't, immediately running up and putting themselves in danger. I think they're smart enough not to do that, probably.
Yeah. I think they're throwing snowballs and water balloons at them, is what I think.
So,
and there's not water in those.
You guys
balloons.
Win the fight, but in the midst of the fight, you lost Tiana. She is gone. Yeah, you weren't paying attention. You were fighting.
Okay.
There was a fight happening.
But, yes.
You looked away for a second.
You think something slipped by Raphael?
Yes.
What about Hobbes? Was Hobbes paying attention?
They missed it. Raphael might have sensed a force, and he can tell it was a force of darkness that she didn't just disappear. I think he probably would know that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So would it be a role to know where she was taken, how we can reach there?
He wouldn't know where, but he would guess if it was darkness, it was probably being brought back to Xehanort in Crowley's world. I mean, I think he would know that. Just intuitively.
All right. We lost the fight.
You
where
won
do we
the
go?
Fight.
We don't know where to go.
You won the fight.
We won the fight, but she's gone.
Okay.
So
wait, so that means Paul with an X in his name.
Yes.
Is here. So we can interrogate Paul. And
if you didn't kill him,
would love did you to do
kill
that.
Him or did you just, you're saying we just,
to learn information.
Okay. I don't think Doom him. Would kill anyone if he,
what about a
knew he could get,
I
mean, more.
I assume you killed the nobody.
Took care of the nobody.
Yeah. You probably killed them. So you still got, yeah. Paul. Okay, cool. What are we interrogating him about?
Everything. Xehanort's plan.
Tell us everything. All right.
Their plan is to capture the Princesses of Heart. They got this one.
Yep.
And then what?
Use it to open the Kingdom Hearts where they're having souls so that Xehanort can get more powerful and obtain the Chi Blade.
All right. Well, he's going to tell us how he was able to get here.
Oh.
And where did they come
just
from?
Just open portals of darkness. You just opened the portal, walked into the realm of darkness, and then immediately walked here.
This Black Hood now belongs to Doom.
He has the cloak.
Would it help if Hobbs pounces on Paul's chest and then Calvin grabs him by the shirt and says, tell us all you know. How do we get to the princess? Tell us now, or I'll throw this water balloon full of acid at your face.
I mean, he would just say the same thing, I think, because he's already given you all the information.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So Doom has the cloak. Now what?
Raphael offers him one last chance at repentance.
Okay. Does Doom take the one? Doom or Paul?
No, not Doom. No. Paul.
I don't think Paul has any idea what he means by repentance. Like, what are you talking about? Probably.
Nope, atomized, buddy.
Yeah. Also, there is no harder soul in him right now, so he probably doesn't care.
Nope. He had his chance.
It's true.
Time for that soul to be restored to his body.
So do we try another princess? Do we go out and find, we lost one. Do we go find another one?
From what we knew, it was all happening at the same time. So if we lost one, we actually lost seven.
Well, it's a good thing we have at least two time travelers between us.
A Merlin. So with Merlin, we can use magic to go back to pay attention to how the princess left away and kind of go back about 30 minutes. And see if we can see how the princess got away.
To see what
she, yeah, if you want them to see it, you can see it. Person with a black hood showed up, grabbed her, opened a portal, they left. There's 13 total. Xehanort, there's the one you defeated, so there's at least 11 others.
Okay, so we will go back in time slightly and try a different world. We will go try and save Elizabeth Swan.
I like it.
Okay.
All right. Show up there. You have some pirate fun. You end up on the Pearl. You drink rum with Captain Jack, except for Raphael. He's unsure if it's a sin or not. So he's like, I can't do that for the story.
And
purposes.
Calvin.
Nah.
The child.
Calvin also doesn't drink any of the rum.
Okay. He gets apple juice.
All right. This time you're greeted by the hooded character Exile, which is Leela from Futurama. She is joined by some nobodies who appear to be like pure entities of lightning, like force lightning, maybe. Some Lothcat nobodies and a few pirates.
Okay. All right. So
Calvin and Hobbs. Raphael. Oh, go ahead.
No,
go
Calvin
ahead.
And Hobbs are gonna take care of Elizabeth.
I like that. I'm gonna
while everyone else fights.
I'm gonna do a roll here.
Or just Doom.
I'm gonna do a roll here.
I think just Doom can handle.
I rolled a 2, which is very low on a 20-sided dice. So here's what I'm interpreting the 2 as. Calvin and Hobbs successfully watch over Elizabeth Swan. They are with her when, in the midst of a fight, another person in a black hood shows up to grab her. They, of course, aren't going to just let him grab her. So he tries to grab her. They fight. Calvin Hobbs and Elizabeth Swan get lost in the realm of darkness. The princess is not brought back to the world of Supernatural, but now Calvin and Hobbs are in the realm of darkness. Doom and Raphael are, and Merlin are still in the pirate world. Having beat up the bad guys, obviously, but team has been separated.
Right. Well, we lost 2, gained 1. Elizabeth, welcome to the team.
Yeah. Not sure how she,
that's good. That's
she
progress.
Would react to being welcomed. She wouldn't curtsy. I know that. She's probably very angry wherever she's.
Explain that's happening to people like her. If she doesn't want it to happen to others or to herself, she should join us.
Does Calvin and Hobbs
and protect the others
able to have like a intelligent enough conversation to explain all this to her and catch her up, basically? I don't know Calvin and Hobbes that well.
Well, this is after they've gone.
They're with her.
They're with
They're
her.
The only ones no, with
we
her.
We didn't say Wait, Elizabeth
you
either.
Said that, you said that they got taken
yeah,
into
with her.
Xehanort's realm.
No, the realm of darkness, not Xehanort's realm.
Yeah, they captured
her. Whatever.
They were able to keep her from being pulled all the way into Supernatural's world, but they did get stuck with her in the realm of darkness in the process. No. Yeah. But you guys beat up the bad guys.
I think Catelyn and Hobbes, they're both explaining to her what happened, but all she sees is like a tiger stuffy. And she's now wondering what's all in his head as imagination or what's real or not. So she's very, very confused why he keeps talking to this inanimate, conscious, stuffy tiger.
Luckily, since you do have Merlin, who I'm assuming knows enough about Kingdom Hearts since he's in Kingdom Hearts, he can't explain to the rest of the team if they are in the realm of darkness, which Raphael can sense that they are. They're immediately losing their heart, soul, everything. We have maybe seconds, minutes before they're gone. So Merlin,
I don't think they have strong enough hearts to resist.
Probably for a while. That's what I was rolling for next, especially Calvin and Hobbes. Because, okay, 13, 20 sided. Which one do we want?
Modifier.
Calvin or Hobbes? Which one are we wanting to benefit most? One of them is getting something, the other one's.
Probably Calvin.
All right. Yeah, Calvin, while he's in the realm of darkness, begins to see what looks like a giant key glowing. It's also pirate themed. It has the wheel of like a pirate ship on the end for some reason. Directly in front of them in the complete darkness, realm of darkness. Neither Elizabeth Swann or Hobbes seems to see the key because reasons.
He's definitely going to grab it.
Yeah. Okay. So now Calvin has a keyblade. He's still in the realm of darkness, but that's going to protect them a little bit longer. Merlin probably doesn't know that he has a keyblade since he's not in the same location, though.
I think Merlin takes the lead and goes after them and tries to save them. Raphael follows and agrees. He's compliant. Dr. Doom is still wanting to fight if there's anything left behind. And maybe his ego is kind of getting in the way, whether he shouldn't take the lead from Merlin because he's smarter than him. But
are they going to try to follow them with like the cloak and using darkness itself to open the door into the realm of darkness? Or are they just going to use the ship?
What do you mean both?
Explain how that works.
What do you mean? Doom knows darkness. Who knows darkness better than Doom? So he can open up with his ego a large enough portal for them to go through with the gummy ship into the realm of darkness.
That's what I was curious. I was curious if Doom was going by himself and then the others were getting in the gummy ship and going or how it was working. That's why. Okay.
Oh, no. There's other pawns to be used right now.
Fair enough.
You can't waste
them. That's going to be successful. They end up in the realm of darkness. They see their friends. You guys get to be united. As soon as you are united. Let me make sure I got this here. No one else happens to have a dice on them. I should have invited you guys to have a dice, I feel like.
I do. Right
perfect.
Here.
Perfect.
What do you need?
I need a perception roll.
But Doom's perception? Do I have Doom stats?
You could choose who you want. I feel like Doom, Raphael, and the other one, they all probably have... You're going to have a base of 10... You just got to roll 15 or higher. That's all I need.
I'll go with Merlin since he knows more about what's going on here. Nope, that should stay on the table. That's a 17.
Okay. He super sees. In fact, I think he sees two of the thing. Maybe three. Two or three. What am I thinking? I'm thinking three, it turns out. All right. He sees three summon gems. I'm going to roll to see which three he finds, but Merlin is going to explain to you guys, I don't have the power to enable these summons to work, but I do know someone who does, the fairy godmother. Because that's canon, unfortunately. That's why it was so funny you guys picked Merlin. I was waiting for this specific thing to happen. All right, let's see. One, well, would you know who the summons are ahead of time, or would you not know until you activate the summons? Wait till you activate them.
Merlin would probably be the only one outside of Raphael.
You can wait till you activate them. I think that'd be good. I'm going to keep that number, though, because that's a great summons to have. All right, so you're in the realm of darkness. Everyone's immediately deteriorating, and while you're here deteriorating, you know that you have these summons you can activate. Moxon, another man in a black hood, appears, who is Captain Nemo, who was left too long in the Realm of Darkness, so he lost his soul and body. And now he is a nobody and part of the Organization 13. He is also here with a few Heartless, which typically don't work with nobodies, but you're in the Realm of Darkness, so there's giant Heartless everywhere. The Heartless that are in the realm here are one monstro that looks like a big whale, another monstro that looks like a giant dogfish, several Godzillas, Heartless, and a Kraken Heartless, all with Moxon here. They are beginning to surround you, but you do have the gummy ship and the cloak. You probably can just get away if you want, but it's up to you.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably just try to get away.
Yeah.
I don't think it is a little much, but I think Doom is smart enough to know that not everyone else can stay.
Four Heartless Godzillas plus knowing you're deteriorating by the second seems kind of not wise.
Well, Doom has the cloak, and I think Doom can probably kill four Godzillas, depending on which Doom it is.
Godzilla, so I don't know.
Oof. The Shin Godzilla's not even high up there.
Yeah. Legendary Heartless Godzilla.
Now, if it was Godzilla Earth, we might have a problem.
That's one too, then. Okay, but he already decided it's probably best to try to just get away. I don't think there's a reasonable argument that you wouldn't be able to just get away. You have several ways to just leave the realm. So, where are you going is what I want to know. You're running away, but where to? Mind you, Merlin just told you about Fairy Godmother being able to activate these summons.
We do need to find Fairy Godmother. We could also drop Elizabeth Swan off with Crowley.
No, she wants to keep fighting. But it's up to you guys. Okay. But she wants to keep fighting. She's a fighter.
Right, well, does he know where Fairy Godmother is?
Super easy. Barely inconvenience.
So the Twilight Town?
You guys could just go there. Yeah, she's in Twilight Town.
Okay. Yeah, we can totally do that.
All right, sweet. You get away.
Have her identify these.
You get away. You get to the Fairy Godmother. You're in Twilight Town in a safe place. There seems to be no nobody's Heartless, nothing around. It seems like the only safe haven you found this whole journey. The first summon that she awakens for you that you guys can use because you have Merlin who knows magic and Doom who knows magic. So you can do probably multiple summons at once. First one you got was Mothra. You can now summon Mothra.
Excellent.
Next one we got.
My favorite Disney princess.
Next one you have is a Fox from Middle West is now a summons you have. Your third summon is Scooby-Doo. Yeah, so you guys can summon Scooby-Doo, wonderful. Mothra, and Fox from Middle West. Just for my own amusement, the other ones you could have got were Oi, Crypto, and Lockheed, which all would have been great. Yeah. So now you have these summons that you're able to activate. They're not, fully here. It's just their soul or their spirit, not soul. Yeah. Kingdom Hearts is weird, guys. You have these summons. You know what's going on. You have Elizabeth Swan and your original team. You're in a safe place for the moment. What do you want to do next?
The last one Merlin knew about was Leia. If we're still going based off of what he knows and the rest of us don't, that sounds like an aspects one. Yep. Other than Doom probably recognizes Galadriel because, he reads. Mm.
That's fair.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Doom was a boy when Shrek was made, so maybe he knows who Fiona is.
Does anybody have a coin? Anybody have a coin we can flip? I have a bottle. Yeah. Sweet.
I kind of want to go see how the story goes with Leia in this particular scenario. That would be my choice, but I'm good with either way.
Say I have a D4. I can make one and two and three and four separate things.
Let's do it. Glad right now.
He has a coin. Let's just flip a coin for the rest of them, saying you're going to go after all of them. So Leia, heads, you save her, tails, you don't.
Tails.
All right. You don't. I am going to mark off the bad guys for this. Can you, for Vivi, same thing?
Tails.
This is awful. Fiona? Hey.
Tails.
How? Is this a weighted coin?
All right, Two-Face.
It's a 50-50 every Galadriel.
Time. Heads.
Nice. Princess Bubblegum.
Heads.
Nice. So I'll just have them join you as well.
It's 50-50.
And I'm going to say seven of these guys. Y'all fought Paul at the first one. Who did you fight the second time? Do you remember?
That was...
I know you...
Goodness gracious.
You didn't defeat Nemo.
We just went through this.
Nemo. Oh, it was Leela. It was
Leela. Left him behind.
Okay.
Leela.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
At these other places, you defeated Boxins, which was Bones. I didn't know how to do it with Dick Grayson. Sorry. You defeated Dick Grayson. Boxa, which was Ahab. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One more that I want to knock out. Bakes, which was Abe from Hellboy. So you defeated all of them while you were dealing with the princesses. The princesses have been dealt with now. You saved 3, lost 4. Where are we at?
I guess the Candy Kingdom.
I absolutely agree.
That's where we left off.
We're in the Candy Kingdom. Princess Bubblegum is freaking out and talking about how souls aren't real and is beginning to do science experiments. Because she can't. I don't know. Maybe she wants to make zombies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boom is unimpressed that one so smart would deny the existence of a soul.
Well, she's unimpressed with his little metal suit.
Well, she can be unimpressed in hell. Not enough.
Anyway, so where are we going? Are we leaving the princesses where they are or taking them with us? I think the only other one that would have... the ones you have, I think the only one who would want to go... Bubblegum, I think, would want to go. Yeah, all 3 of them. I think Bubblegum, Galadriel, and Elizabeth Swann would all want to be a part of the adventure, but you can leave them where they are if you want, because you will have to bring them back, assumedly, and that's a lot of work.
That they stay with us and by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good way to keep an eye on them, anyway.
Yes. Right,
so where are we going next?
To Crowley,
so,
I guess.
So does Crowley know exactly where Xehanort is striking from?
He knows that he has taken over Hell, and Crowley's trying to get his kingdom back. So are you going to go to Hell in Crowley's world and look for Crowley there, or are you going to look for Crowley back at the Technarchy where you started off?
Wait, that's where we started off? Oh, sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah, we did. I assume that Crowley would have been in the Technarchy since Hell has been ousted from him. And he rendezvoused with us there.
So you're going back to the Technarchy?
Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to do another roll for this one. With the 12. All right, cool. As you arrive, Raphael immediately notices several demons coming up trying to capture the princesses from you. Crowley, of course, then comes out with Mexon, who is Nemo, who you've met before in the Realm of Darkness. And I'm trying to remember her name, sorry. Hexons, which was Zana, the former Sith apprentice. They are now confronting you. They have a league of demons who were trying to capture the princess. Raphael noticed, so they weren't able to just capture the princesses. But you are surrounded by demons and then these 3 members of the organization. And Crowley. Well, 2 members and Crowley. Sorry.
Is this with the demons? Is this where Raphael knows demons? He's like, this is my realm now. We can do this, and rolls up his sleeves and takes a staff and shines a bright light of truth to reveal all things.
Are you asking me or telling me?
I'm telling you. Ah, that's sweet. What we're doing. That's,
you know, I think that eliminates all the demons except for Crowley, who kind of does like a fake brush off his shoulders. Like, really, you think that magic's going to work on the king of hell? His mom did some witchy stuff. Kept
so
him safe.
No magic.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't want it to be that easy. Yeah.
Right. I think next, and you guys help me if this is, I think, do we have Calvin with us? Calvin and Hobbes?
Yes. Right now you have.
They put holy water in a water balloon and throw it at Crowley and see if that does any damage.
Yes.
He's going to sidestep the water balloon. Just not going to get hit again by the water balloon. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Again.
Oh.
So I think eventually someone's going to start trying to fight instead of throwing water bowls.
I want to throw this out you guys' way. In Captain Britain and the MI-13 or something like that, Doom reveals to Dracula that he implanted the nails of the True Cross inside of his armor. So I think that's a huge boon here.
I think Doom takes Crowley, but the other two are still trying to capture the princess. So people who aren't Crowley, who aren't Doom, who's preoccupied with Crowley, then have to deal with Mexon and Haxons. Yeah, Haxons.
All right, so we've got a Sith sorceress fighting off the greatest wizard who ever lived, Merlin.
Yeah.
I think Merlin can take her.
Calvin and Hobbes
are probably falling back because Raphael can take
Nemo.
Yeah.
It's just a guy.
Yeah, really, he's just a guy. Well, I mean, he's nobody now.
So he's a little more enhanced now, but they're watching over, making sure. Yeah. No funny business is happening to try and take the princesses away.
I'm pretty sure you got the fight. My question is, who gets killed? Does Doom kill Crowley, or is Doom smart enough that he's just going to capture Crowley?
Well, smarter thing is to make him submit to his will.
Yeah. Doom's going to try and make Crowley work for him.
Do what he couldn't do to Mephisto.
I think Crowley will just explain, basically, that he had made a deal with Xehanort, that once Xehanort has his Chi Blade in the Kingdom of Hearts, that there's no reason for him to be in hell, so that Xehanort was going to allow Crowley to once more rule over hell. So that's why he's helping Xehanort. So he would explain that once he's captured, I think, because he's going to try and squirm, get his way out, and make a deal with Doom and you guys so that he can maybe come out of this alive, possibly try and, you know, pull something where he still ends up with having hell back, because that's all he really wants.
I would say we'll let you regain your kingdom, but no more funny business. Well, these chains get even tighter.
I think he'll accept that, but he's kind of side-eyeing Raphael. Like, he's like, not sure he could trust that guy, you know.
Can't trust the angel.
A demon does not trust an angel, especially not in the supernatural world. And Raphael, in his world, Raphael was kind of, quote, the dick of angels.
Yeah, but we're in the technarchy.
Yeah, but Crowley is still from Crowley's world.
It's also not that Raphael.
Yeah, but he's still not sure he trusts him. You know, I feel like it's still a reasonable, like, suspicion, given his history with angels. He's met, like, two that were okay.
I think Raphael will tell him, you play your part, demon, I'll play mine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like that. I think Crowley's going along still. Yeah. So now we have Elizabeth Swan, Princess Bubblegum, Galadriel, Crowley, Dr. Doom, Merlin, Calvin and Hobbes, Raphael. Where are we going? Are we going to go confront Xehanort in hell?
I mean, what other choices are? Got to do it.
If we kill the princesses, does his plan just never work?
He'll just find another seven new hearts. It's an endless cycle. True.
Especially now that J.J. Abrams break this is involved. Cycle? It's gotten even worse.
Yes.
I'm going to do one more perception. Well, intimidation roll, actually. Because Doom was the one interrogating Crowley, right?
Yes.
Probably. A 3, but Raphael. I'm going to roll for Raphael, too, because I want this to be a successful roll. Oh, 4. That just was not successful. Did not get to tell you the thing I wanted to tell you guys. But it's fine. We'll skip over this slide.
Okay.
So, end up... You're in hell. You're going to be confronted, of course, by Xehanort, who's thankful you brought the other three princesses he needs.
Well, first off, we should probably ask Merlin if he knows where the Chi Blade, God help me, where it actually is.
The Chi Blade doesn't exist yet. It doesn't exist until the 7 powers of light take on the 13 powers of darkness. That's when, in that confrontation, the Chi Blade will reveal itself.
Oh, we should probably figure out who the 7 powers of light are so we can get them the heck out so they don't get in those involved.
Well, right now, you guys might be the 7. You guys have about 7 people.
There's no way. There's no way in literal hell that Doom is a light.
Unfortunately, We are in hell, and I think Doom is the light.
Also, Riku was the light. I don't think it's that far of a stretch for Kingdom Hearts World.
Yeah. Riku is still Doom a good person.
Is gone from
Doom thinks he's a good person. There's a difference.
He's a good ruler.
Just the seven things of light. He's trying to use the princesses of heart to open it so that he can find them. He doesn't know who the seven of light are either at this point. You got to get through three more games of the same thing first. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I actually hear we're too short, even if we were light, the heroes of light.
No, I think you're over, right? Because you started with four, then you got three princesses and Crowley. That's eight.
He's not a light.
Yeah, that's what I said. You got one over. Except for Doom also probably would not count. So there's that.
Yeah.
So you're probably good either way.
Under strictest standards.
The only one. Also, the only one of you with a Keyblade is Calvin. So he's the only one who might be one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And don't forget, you do have the three summons. So are we showing up in hell now? All right.
Yeah.
I guess that's where the story's going. Mothra, what number would be next in line? Next in line. Yeah.
Well, you can't ride Mothra because summons don't last long enough for that, I feel like. But you know, you show up in the gummy ship. Anyway, you're in hell. You make it to hell in the supernatural universe. You're confronted by Xehanort, also with Kuxud, who is Count Dooku as one of the members of the Organization 13. You already defeated Huxons. You have Yexoth. So you have Kuxud, Count Dooku, Yexoth, which is Faye from Cowboy Bebop. You have Oxoth Doomsburg. Dr. Doofensburg says a nobody. Moxon, you already defeated. So you have Shaxulf, which is Flash Thompson. And of course, Xehanort. So Xehanort, Flash Thompson as.
Who had Flash Thompson?
You had him.
I didn't have Flash Thompson. I had Rick Jones.
Oh, well, then that was Rick Jones. My bad. I got confused. Sometimes I don't pay enough attention. All right. Xehanort, Rick Jones, Dr. Doofensmirtz, Faye, and Dooku are the organization members. Of course, they are also joined by nobodies. Made of Force Lightning, some Shamu nobodies, some Flipper nobodies, some Dwarf nobodies, Lothcat nobodies, Wizard nobodies, and Pirate nobodies. They're all here. Big fight showdown. It's here. The only ones that didn't make it are the Heartless, who are just stuck in the Realm of Darkness because nobody wants them out, actually. Not even the nobodies. Yeah. So that's who we're fighting. Do we want to go through anything? Do we want to just say you win, they win?
It's up to you. Who wins? Do we win that fight?
I don't know. That's pretty close. Organization 13 Dooku is absolutely insane, actually. Doofenshmirtz is probably not that powerful. Who else did we have?
Doofenshmirtz would defeat himself.
Yeah, Rick Jones as an organization member or something. Yeah. Yeah, Dooku and Xehanort, I think, are really the big strong ones. And then you have a ton of nobodies. But I'm assuming you're going to use all three of your summons. So you have literal Mothra with you. I'm pretty sure you come out on top of that.
I mean,
I'm also pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think Doom can probably take Dooku.
Yeah.
Oh, and then some.
So we beat the old bald man. We did it. Bring the princesses home. We win the game.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
And the bonus points. Did you figure out Crowley's true motives before getting to his universe? Yes, because you went to the Technarchy first. So I'm going to count that. So you get that point. You get 2 points for finding a Keyblade. You used a summons. The only one you didn't do is find Chuck and Amara, who were in the Keyblade graveyard. And that's just because you had some bad rolls, man. If you would have intimidated Crowley just a little bit more, you would have found literal God in the darkness.
We didn't need their loser help anyways. They would have weakened us.
Turns out you didn't need it, but it would have been an extra 5 points. But instead, you have five of the bonus points on board. So let me tally up and see what your thing is. So right now, the current high score set from Christian Ashley when we did the sidekick games is 37. Well, we're going to see what score you guys give. Mission status. You only missed one thing that was a bonus thing. You got most of the princesses. You lost a few of the princesses. You didn't save literally every princess. I'll give that a 9 out of 10 for the mission status. Just because you still in the end of that.
It's literally, we saved 3 of the princesses.
Fine. 8 out of 10.
I mean, ultimately, we got everyone at the end. But yeah, I'm with TJ.
8. Because you still did defeat Xehanort pretty handily.
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you 8. You got 5 bonus. Let me go ahead and write that down. Teamwork. I think that mostly you did have a few, you know, Doom thinking he's better than people and kind of starting to butt heads. But I think everything just moved too fast for him to become a problem. Yes. But he still tried to become a problem. So I put that as 6 or 7. 6, 7. 7 plus 7. Sustainability. This group isn't sticking together. Doom wants nothing to do with the rest of them.
Absolutely not. No way.
Merlin's doing his own thing. Yeah. So I'm going to give a pretty...
Raphael's got business.
We're going to get a pretty low sustainability. I'm going to 3.
1. Give us a 1. 3. Give us a 1.
I think the princesses might keep hanging out with Calvin and Hobbes. Yeah. Calvin and Hobbes just hanging out with the princesses.
But he does not like girls. He doesn't like Susie. Yeah, he thinks they're boogie beans. Booger beans. So give us a 2.
But they're older than Susie, right? Okay. She's just as old as he is.
I'm giving it a 1. Correctly. I'm going to give it a 1.
Okay. Good.
All right. Good. Fun. Okay. I don't think this was a particular. Hey, wait, strength. Yeah. I skipped strength. Thank you. Strength is 10. Yeah. 10. You had 10. Doom 10. And Merlin.
Yeah.
Fun, though.
10. And the Archangel Raphael. Yeah.
Fun. It wasn't quite there.
Raphael didn't even flex.
The only fun ones were Calvin and Hop. And I think they had a lot of fun for everybody, but like. As a whole collective, I don't think Doom was enjoying himself by any means, or Merlin.
I disagree.
All right, let me hear it.
Merlin's always having a good time, and Doom probably would have enjoyed getting to exert his will over a bunch of new people he'd never seen before. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and make Crowley submit to him.
Yeah, he did enjoy that. But I don't know if that counts as fun. That's just enjoying something and fun is different. For him,
that's super fun.
That's Doom's fun. Everyone telling Doom that he's right is like the ultimate form of fun.
I'm going 6. Going 6.
Okay.
I don't see them just hanging out having a good, like they weren't in Twilight time, like, hey, let's guys just hang out and have some fun before we do anything, you know, like that wasn't happening.
I do though. I do think Doom and Merlin at least could hang out and have fun.
Those together. Two probably, maybe. Unsure.
They've met each other too, wasn't in the Iron Man 249, 250 when he went back in time. I'm pretty sure Merlin was in that one.
Well,
yeah.
With the bonus points. You guys tied Christian Ashley for the high score of 37. Amazingly. So the high score is the same. It is still 37. But since this was the first actual episode of Geeks on a Roll, I think we'll just count this as the high score. If Christian's okay with beating his own high score with the same score.
I'm fine with sharing. I'm a man now.
I think if you gave us one extra point for fun, I think if you gave us one more extra point for fun and listen to us go from 6 to 7, then I think we're at 38.
I'm keeping 37. Even that was my initial ratings. I'm staying there. Is there anything else you want to take away from the story, the game, everything that happened today in our little experiment before we wrap up?
I think Kingdom Hearts is plenty complicated enough to be taking it and changing it into slightly different stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think anytime.
And I think at this point, we all said something lore inaccurate.
Anytime you deal with. Well, Kingdom Hearts breaks its own lore every game, every single game. Yeah. Anytime I think you deal with like body, soul, spirit, I think it gets hard to distinguish. And maybe that's because it's all entangled.
Time to drink.
All right. Well, yeah, I did think it was fun that most of these aren't going to be like to have some big spiritual takeaway or something. It's just to have fun. So I thought it was a good time. We'll keep working on it and working out some of the details. Time-wise, I think it was okay, so I don't think it needs to be less complicated personally, but I'm cool with it. All that said, though, it is time for our wrap-up. We were supposed to have an extra question at the end of the episode, but I think this one was long enough, so we're going to leave it be. Other than, actually, I do have one. I'm going to ask you guys afterwards which princess was most likely to get along with Doom, just because I'm curious. So that'll be our bonus here at the end. First, though, we are going to do some recommendations. My recommendation is do more role-playing, read more about Doom, because how you guys talk about him makes me want to read more about Dr. Doom, personally. Yeah. Christian, any recommendations?
I've switched to my newest thing to fall asleep to, and that's Phineas and Ferb. Fantastic. It makes me feel really good as I fall asleep.
Yeah. That would also have been a great best friends.
Good show.
But they're brothers. So.
We did think about it.
Yeah. We did think about it.
Yeah. Will, if you had to pick a recommendation.
Go read Calvin and Hobbes. Just sit down with the Calvin and Hobbes book and read through and giggle and laugh. And the art's really fantastic, too. Oh, yeah. So I love the art. But yeah, go read some Calvin and Hobbes and giggle.
Love it. Love it. TJ, recommendations?
Any cyberpunk enjoyers out there, cyberpunk as a genre or a style, not the actual franchise cyberpunk, go check out Killtopia. And I forgot the name was on the bottom of the book. I was going to show the top of the book.
Yeah.
Super great.
Nice.
Great comments.
All right. Well, with that, guys, please rate and review our show wherever you get your podcast. Wherever you're listening right now, be a huge help. Also, you know, I'm going to do a big shout out to our supporters. Today we're specifically shouting out Gunnar Burgum and Frank Tagalor. I need to pick people who I can say their name, but I won't, because I just appreciate all of you. If you want to hear me struggle to say your name, you also can get a shout out by becoming an official member of Systematic Geekology on our website. Link is in the description. Same website, you can find extra free content. If you want to be a free member, you can get merch without becoming a member. You can leave a donation. You don't have to become a member to find cool stuff on the website. It's still worth it. Check out our other episodes that related to this one. I'll have those links for those episodes down below as well. And remember, we are all a chosen people, a geekdom, a priest.
Hey guys, I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time, and we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out, because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically, just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt, instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out. And thank you.
Hi friends, it's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show, discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.